From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. There are precious few singers left in the world of jazz who can be called great and legendary. Abby Lincoln is one artist who falls directly into those categories. Our producer, Roy Hurst, has this profile.
Flying high, flying through a clouded sky.
If the overall goal of a jazz musician is to achieve originality, then Abby Lincoln's been a master since the late 50s. Today, she's considered one of the few divas of her genre. She's a bit of a firebrand, known for her passion and honesty. She's an artistic maverick who spent a lifetime going her own way. In the process, she's become one of the most influential female jazz singers of our time, an achievement that isn't lost on her. Do you think that you've paid a price in the music business because of your individualism and your insistence on expressing yourself?
No, I'm rewarded because of that. This is a world of originals. People like what's original, and it may not manifest. Your popularity may not be manifested right away, especially if you're supposed to be out of it.
Valina Coffee made the journey here, traveled in her spaceship from some other sphere.
Her world-weary timbre gets at the root of a phrase. She plays with the time and the shape of a melody in the tradition of Louis Armstrong, Miles Davis, and especially Billie Holiday. The result is an emotional punch that even today leaves audiences breathless.
Well, it's not for theater.
Yes.
It really isn't. It's for my spirit and for my soul.
But I'm almost tempted to call you a performance artist.
I am.
Okay.
You know what makes me different from some other singers? Is that I'm an actress as well, and an actor too.
Yes.
and I write the songs that I sing for the most part. But I think it has a lot to do with my beginnings as a performer and the opportunities I had to act out things on the stage.
Said a scarecrow leaning on a pole to a blackbird sitting on a fence. Well, the Lord gave me a soul, but forgot to give me common sense.
Abby Lincoln was born Anna Marie Wooldridge in 1930 to what she describes as a brilliant couple. She was the 10th of 11 children and was raised on a farm in Michigan where her free spirit was allowed room to grow.
I was given the stage when I was 5 years old at home. Mama and Dad let me do this. And nobody said to me, Anna Marie, get off the piano. Nobody said to me, Anna Marie, play the piano. They left me alone to be what I wanted to be. I was always encouraged. I didn't have to scrounge for a career. I didn't have to scrounge for a living or anything else. So I trust life for my life. And I don't ask, I don't tell the creative forces what they should do or what I want them to do. I don't know anything about it. But I know that in some cultures, I'm an African woman. We used to dance and sing and play instruments and tell stories. There wasn't an audience sitting around clapping, neither. We were doing this because we wanted to do it, and it had nothing to do with a business, but to feed your spirit and to help you to live in a hostile environment sometimes.
Love for sale.
By the mid-50s, she was young, gifted, black, and beautiful, and in the hands of a manager intent on molding her into a sexy supper club singer. She wore Marilyn Monroe's dress, literally, and was coached in the ways of a chanteuse. The emphasis was on sexuality rather than originality.
Listen, my mother taught me better than that. She told me that pretty is as pretty does, and I didn't grow up thinking that I was anything because of the way my face was made or my body or nothing. And if you go for that, you're stupid. It's just a way of somebody using your life to accommodate theirs. Because I was wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress on the stage, and I'd run and my boobs would jump up and down. I'd run on the stage. And I really went for the okey-doke, you know? Mm-hmm. And the Roach came to see me. He said, Abby, you don't have to do that. He said, I don't like that dress. I said, you don't? He was the only one, the first one, and the only one to tell me he didn't like the dress. So I never wore it again after that. I don't mean to be rude, but I did burn it in the incinerator to make sure I never wore it again. Yeah, Roach helped me to get out of there.
By Roach, she means Max Roach, the great jazz drummer and one of the founding fathers of the musical revolution called bebop. He was also the great love of Abby's life. Max Roach's penchant for experimentation encouraged Abby to reach for her own individuality, and his political consciousness influenced her as well. Together, they joined their talents in the human rights struggles of black people in America and around the world. They collaborated on some now legendary avant-garde recordings like We Insist, the Freedom Now Suite, 1960, where Abby literally screams in protest. She does so for almost a full minute, and nothing like this had ever been seen in jazz before.
Triptych, prayer, protest, and peace. Roach felt that if you pray and then protest, you can have some peace. Sometimes it works like that. Yeah, at least you got it off, you know?
Well, see, now that...
And I got a reputation for being this a warrior, an activist.
An activist.
But we were on the bandwagon with Dr. King and Malcolm X and all these people. When the lights go on again, all over the world.
Abby Lincoln went on to develop what's now become her trademark singing style, and along the way she attracted a little of Hollywood, making two notable pictures, the cult classic Nothing But a Man in 1964, and in 1966, For Love of Ivy with Sidney Poitier.
What more you want?
I don't want to get married.
Did I say you did?
I just want that established.
Well, I don't want to get married either.
Yeah.
I don't. I've scuffled for myself since I was 12, and I'm not giving that up for no two-bit hustler.
It always did the actresses in because I was the one who was supposed to have this reputation as a freedom fighter and everything, mm-hmm. and I got two movies. Yeah. For Love of Ivy, mm-hmm, with mm-hmm. Sydney. They didn't think it was going to be, they thought it was going to be Diana Carroll.
Mm.
So did Sydney.
Today, Abby is 72. She lives in New York. When she's not touring, she spends her time painting, writing poetry, and especially songs, a skill she began developing back in her Max Roach days when she conjured up the lyrics for Monk's Blues by the jazz giant Thelonious Monk.
And Thelonious came to the studio. He listened to the song. We'd already recorded it. He had it added to his song. But he whispered in my ear before he left. He said, don't be so perfect. I said to Max, you know, Thelonious said to me, don't be so perfect. What does he mean? And Roach said, he means make a mistake. Well, I didn't know what either one of them were talking about. But I do now.
Uh-huh.
You take a chance and you reach for something. And if you didn't make it, you reached for it anyway. Whew. They call it jazz.
For the Tavis Smiley Show, I'm Roy Hurst.
Oh, the holy earth's mural, seen from way up high.